as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord's Supper has been celebrated from the time right after Christ's ascension to the present day by all Christians of all times and places and cultures. And today we still appreciate it and celebrate it among us here today. Sadly, the clear words of Christ have become one of the main matters of doctrine that divides Christendom, his words concerning his own supper. Any sincere Christian who laments the current division in Christendom has probably at one time or another asked him or herself if the divergent teachings on the Lord's Supper are really that serious. If there are so many different understandings on the Lord's Supper, is it really that clear then what Jesus means? What then should we really believe? And should this really be an issue that divides us? Wouldn't it just be better to focus on the main thing, that Jesus died for our sins, and not be so concerned with the other little details, like our understanding of the Lord's Supper? As sincere as this desire for Christian unity may be, we are bound to find true Christian unity under Christ and by the words that he has left for us to guide us in our lives and in our teaching. As Lutheran Christians, we believe that in the Lord's Supper, our Lord Jesus Christ is truly and bodily present in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine. We usually speak of this as the doctrine of the real presence. In the doctrine of the real presence, we mean that Christ is really there, in body and soul, in both his humanity and in his divinity, as a means to give to us the forgiveness that he won for us on Calvary's cross. In the Lutheran Church, we hold to a simple and plain reading of Christ's words as recorded by the Gospel accounts and by St. Paul. Christ says, "This is my body, this is my blood." Is does not mean represents. The word is to be taken at face value. In short, is what it is. We do not believe that Christ is speaking figuratively because his institution includes both an action and a result of that action. Christ bids us to eat and to drink. He says that by such eating and drinking of his body and blood, we therefore receive the forgiveness of sins. The other side of this understanding is that those who eat and drink unworthily receive not forgiveness, but something else. St. Paul writes in his first letter to the Corinthians, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." These words of St. Paul clearly indicate that unworthy eating and drinking in the Lord's Supper brings one into judgment before God. Now, symbols and metaphors do not give forgiveness. Symbols and metaphors do not bring judgment upon a person. Real things, the real presence of Christ in his sacrament, however, does. Another reason that we hold to the teaching of the real presence in the Lord's Supper is our understanding of the person of Christ and his ascension into heaven. In the Nicene, we confess that Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is attested to in the Gospels and in many of the New Testament epistles. Christ's position in heaven is not to be understood as a limited local position in the clouds, but this is language to express Christ's position of glory and exaltation as the right-hand man of God, if you will. Jesus himself says in John chapter 4, God is spirit. God the Father does not have a physical body. He does not have hands. He has no right hand at which Christ can sit. St. Paul also writes to the Ephesians and says of Christ, He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. St. Paul says that our exalted Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is not stuck in the heavens, but that he fills all things. Christ's presence is not bound or locked into some heavenly locale where we cannot reach him. He can be wherever he promises to be it on earth, in heaven, or anywhere else in all of his creation. And indeed, we have the clear words from Christ himself concerning his presence with his followers. We all know the familiar words of our Lord at the Great Commission, as recorded by the evangelist Matthew. Matthew writes, And Jesus came and said to them, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that he will be with his disciples until the very end of the age. Jesus Christ is no absentee Savior. When Jesus says that he will be with us, he means it. And he is with us in his whole person. Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. His human and divine natures, including his physical body, were there in his one person through his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And he still lives on as a person both with body and soul today. There is no such thing as a Jesus who is only spiritually present. Where his spirit is, there must also be his body. A solely spiritual Jesus is not the Jesus Christ of the Scriptures. Any time that someone tries to speak of a purely spiritual Jesus, they are separating Jesus from the body in which he died, that is, the body through which he paid the price for our own sins, that we may be redeemed in both body and soul. Anyone who believes in merely a spiritual presence of Jesus, be it in regard to the Lord's Supper or in any other manifestation, unwittingly undoes the significance of the incarnation and atonement of Christ, and therefore robs themselves of a saving Jesus. This is why in the Lutheran Church we believe that it is so important to firmly hold to the doctrine of the real presence. It is the doctrine of Christ. We do not do so to be proud or to be mean or nasty to other Christians of differing beliefs. We are being faithful to our Lord and his word for us. We are treating the Lord's Supper and participation in that supper with the utmost respect and appreciation. Out of our understanding of the Lord's Supper also comes our unpopular practice of closed communion. When we practice closed communion, we are not thereby saying to others that we are better Christians. We know that we daily sin much and are in need of forgiveness. That is why we go to the Lord's Supper, for forgiveness. We earnestly desire that all who partake of the supper, that they take part to their benefit and comfort, because that is what Jesus desires. To eat and drink in the Lord's Supper in unrepentance, unbelief, or with a false understanding of what is going on, is to eat and drink judgment upon oneself. Now we all know that we cannot see into the human heart of others. Only God can do that. But we can hear the beliefs that people confess with their own lips and see how they order their own lives. It is the responsibility of this and every Christian congregation with its pastor to take the utmost care in examining people by their lives and by their outward confession to determine if they receive the Lord's Supper in right faith. This evening, we partake again with Christ and of Christ in the breaking of bread, just as he was there with his disciples in the upper room on that first Maundy Thursday. He is still here with us today. We come worthy, not on account of our perfect conduct, but on account of Christ, his sacrificial atonement, and his gracious invitation to each and every one of us. As Christ did not shy away from humbling himself in a manger, or to humble himself by dying on the cross, so he does not shy away this evening from humbling himself for you in, with, and under the forms of bread and wine. Christ invites you. Come and eat. Come and drink. Receive the forgiveness of sins which he won for you on Calvary, so that you in true faith may partake of his victory and resurrection for all eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.